Sims.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on.
Very blue.
Please be seated. We have a wonderful opportunity this evening to hear words of Torah from Rabbi Tzvi Sobolovsky. Rabbi Sobolovsky is a Rosh Yeshiva at Reitz, and I invite you to listen to more of his shiurim on YU Torah. Many, many, many of his shiurim are there. And he's going to be giving a shiur this evening on Inyanei Diyoma. It's a wonderful honor for us to have him with us. He's also a Rav in Bergenfield in Congregation Or HaTorah. And please give our attention to Rabbi Sobolovsky.
Shus HaRabbonim, in exactly 2 months from now, we're going to be standing in the middle of Ne'ilah. And one of the final piyutim we're going to say after an entire day of tefillah of Yom HaKippurim is we are going to once again bemoan the fact that we do not have a Beis HaMikdosh. A day such as Yom Kippur, we feel even more poignantly the loss of a Beis HaMikdosh. And as such, we almost throw our hands up at the very end of Ne'ilah and say, just about everything is lost. We don't have Karbanos, and we don't have a Kohen Gadol, and we have nothing to rely upon. But there's one last phrase. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. In the absence of a Beis HaMikdosh, not all is lost. There is still some hope. We still have left. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. We still have the Torah HaKadosha. At first glance, this phrase, Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos, sounds almost like, to use a phrase, like a booby prize. It means we basically didn't win. We basically don't have what we want. And Nebuch, we're kind of trying to, you know, pat ourselves on the back and make ourselves feel all not that bad and say, well, at least you have second best. At least you have the Torah. And I don't think that's at all what this piyut means. I think that even the very word shiur means a leftover, a remnant, clearly has a different connotation. But the theme of this piyut, the culmination of Yom HaKippurim, and very much the culmination of Tisha B'Av as well, is to put things into proper perspective. What have we lost? Yes, which was of course the focus of today. But what we have left, what remains, the remnant, the shiur, how important and how critical it is. So let's take a moment and understand what the significance of this shiur rak haTorah hazos is, particularly as the day, culmination of the day of mourning the losses of the Beis HaMikdosh, to focus for a moment on what is not lost, to focus on a moment what we do have left. What is this shiur haTorah hazos and why is this so important, particularly as the moments of Tisha B'Av come to an end? If we take a look at three areas of halacha that are related to one another, we find that there is a mitzvah of kriya, of ripping one's clothing, on three different occasions. Person, Rachman Litzlan, experiences a personal loss. There's a mitzvah of kriya, there's a mitzvah to tear one's clothes. There is a halacha, Rachman Litzlan, a person sees a Sefer Torah being defiled, a Sefer Torah being burnt. One also is required to tear kriya. And one is also required to tear kriya when one sees Haroah HaMikdosh B'chubano, when one sees the Makam HaMikdosh, one is also obligated by the halacha to rip one's clothes as a sign of kriya. Three areas where kriya plays a role: avelus for the individual who passes away, avelus for the Sefer Torah that has been defiled, and avelus for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh that is re-experienced upon Haroah HaMikdosh B'chubano. What is it about these three experiences? Why is it that the halacha responds with the mitzvah of kriya? What is kriya all about? So I think that the mitzvah of kriya is really addressing a reality as to the relationship between clothing, and that which is being covered by the clothing. We all know and we all sense that clothing do not make up a person. Clothing merely covers over what is the essence, what is the panemius of an individual. The way one presents oneself to the outside world, one's chitzonios, one's garments, are merely a cover for what one's panemius is really all about. And the halacha of kriya is really a statement, is a demonstration of a fact, is an acknowledgement that a certain chitzonios has been removed, an external is no longer here, but that in no shape or form means that the panemius isn't present anymore. It just means perhaps that the panemius is unprotected, the internal is now exposed, it is still present, but the chitzonios has been removed. And that is the mitzvah of kriya. A kriya is the acknowledgement of the separation of the chitzonios and the panemius. And in each one of these halachos, we find internal and external. A human being, it is obvious the relationship between the external and the internal. As long as a person is alive, the guf and the neshama are working together. And at the moment of ptira, the moment of death, so the chitzonios and the panemius part ways. A person still exists, his essence is still alive, albeit in the form of a neshama. When the guf, which is the levush, which is the garment that covers over the neshama, is no longer here, the halacha dictates that one rends one's garment. One rips one's chitzonios. One, in a sense, separates the panemius from the chitzonios, which is exactly what happens at the moment of death. And the same is true upon witnessing a Sefer Torah that is defiled, because in the realm of a Sefer Torah there is also panemius and there is also chitzonius. One just simply has to recall those words that we all said this morning as part of the kin about the Asar Rugei Malchus, Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, as he was being burnt alive, wrapped in a Sefer Torah. When his Talmidim and his students asked him, Rebbe, what do you see? He responded that the cloth, the parchment, was being destroyed, but the osios parchus ba'avir, the letters, were going up to heaven. What are the letters and what is the parchment? There is a chitzonius of Torah and there's a panemius of Torah. The levush, the garment of the Torah, is the Sefer Torah. Of the words of the Torah, shebichsav, that is the external dimension of Torah. But there is an inner soul, there is an isham of Torah as well. That is the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that can never be destroyed. Just as an isham of a human being, something which is purely spiritual, something which has no connection to the physical world, cannot be consumed by a physical flame, so too the Torah Shebaal Peh, the osios, go up to Shemayim. The Torah of Rabbi Chaim ben Trajan was never destroyed. The Mesorah, the tradition of the Asar Rugei Malchus, did not go up in flames. However, when a person experiences and witnesses the tragic separation between the levush of Torah, the garment of Torah, and its inner soul, when a Sefer Torah is defiled and all that's left is now the neshama of the Torah, so that also warrants a kriya. No different and no less than a person who tears kriya upon the witnessing of the separation of a human soul and a human body. When the Torah's soul and the Torah's body, the Torah's levush, the Torah's garment, are ripped apart from one another, the response is nothing short of kriya of one's begad. But how do we understand this message of pnimius and chitzonius when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the third area of halacha that requires kriya? What is the panemius and what is the chitzonius of the Beis HaMikdash? And I think the answer is very simple and actually can be found in that piyut that we conclude Ne'ilah with. The chitzonius of the Beis HaMikdash we're all aware of, we're all familiar with, we spoke about it in great detail this morning. The chitzonios, the externals of the Beis HaMikdash, the levush of the Beis HaMikdash, the garment of the Beis HaMikdash, is made up of a mizbeach, is made up of a menorah, is made up of a shulchan, is made up of an aron. Those are the external aspects of Mikdash. But there is a heart and soul of a Beis HaMikdash. There is an internal Mikdash. There is something which goes much deeper than just the wooden and the golden kalim of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. What is that soul? What is it that is the real essence, the true spiritual essence behind the cloak, behind the garment, behind the sticks and stones of a Beis HaMikdash? What is the soul, what is the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash? And I think it is also very simple. Just take a look at the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and we'll realize it. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash revolves around the Kodesh, which in turn revolves around the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The central theme of the Beis HaMikdash, the central address of everything of the Beis HaMikdash, is Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was only one thing, the Aron. And in the Aron, there was only one thing, the Luchos. It is the words of Torah. It is Kabbalah Satorah. It is a commitment to Talmud Torah and to Shemur HaMitzvos. That is ultimately what makes the Beis HaMikdash itself tick. That is the neshama. It is Limud HaTorah. It is the commitment to Kabbalah Satorah. As the Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that was the ultimate goal of a Mishkan in the first place. To have a place for the Jewish people to always reconnect to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was not just a once in history of a people's experience, but rather each and every time any Jew wants to come back to his roots, to Har Sinai, he comes to the Mishkan and later to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and he reconnects. The Beis HaMikdash had many, many components to it. It was a makom of avodas hakorbanos. It was a makom of tefillah. But we sometimes forget that it was first and foremost a makom of Torah. It was the place where Kimitzion Teitzei Sor V'Hashem Yerushalayim, it was the place where the Beis HaGadol sat. It was the place, in the Rambam's words, in Hilchos Mamrim, where the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh rested and emanated from the words of the Beis HaGadol sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. That wasn't just tangential part of the Mikdash, that was the Mikdash. The Mikdash was a place to come back to Har Sinai, to come back to Torah. That was the soul of the Beis HaMikdash. That is the soul of the Beis HaMikdash. And that will always be the soul of the Beis HaMikdash. That was never destroyed on Tisha B'Av. What was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, what we cried and mourned for today, was the Levush. We cried for the physical destruction of the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash, no less than we cry when a human being passes away. But just as the neshama is the soul of a human being lives on forever, and just as the parshios, the cloth, the parchment may be consumed by fire, but the osios go up to heaven and remain forever, the heart and soul of the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed. The heart and soul of the Beis HaMikdash is alive. When we say in Apiyut on Yom Kippur, we have no Beis HaMikdash, but Ein Lanu Shiur Rakatora Hazos. Shiur is not something which is tangential to Mikdash. Shiur means the remnant, what remains of the Beis HaMikdash. There is no Aron, there is no Menorah, there is no Mizbeach, there is no Guf, and there is no Levush. But Ein Lanu Shiur Rakatora Hazos does remain. Will always remain. The neshama of the Beis HaMikdash can never ever be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Chasto HaGadol and His great kindness, several mitzvahs that enable us to keep that Beis HaMikdash, the real Beis HaMikdash, the dream, the soul, the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, alive and well, no matter where we are, no matter when in history we live. When we read the second Parsha Kriya Shema, so the Parsha, about halfway through, reaches a point of almost complete desperation and despair. We read about the parasha of Golos, we read about the parasha of Churban, and we're about to throw our hands up, that there is no hope. We have just been destined to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, to be exiled, and where do we go from here? And there is the most powerful pasuk that follows. V'samtem es devarai eila alavavcha v'yonavshachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, even in Golos, even in Churban, you can still connect to the soul of the Beis HaMikdash, v'samtem es devarai eila, through the vehicle of Limud HaTorah. But then the Torah does something else for us, and gives us even a lavush, even a garment, a series of garments, even bizman ha-churban, even bizman ha-golos. It's very hard for us to connect just directly to a soul. In the absence of the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, not all is lost. I'm going to present you two mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs that you used to do bizman she-Beis HaMikdash ha-kayam. But these mitzvahs are going to take on an entirely new meaning after Churban. One is the mitzvah of tefillin, and one is the mitzvah of mezuzah. The two mitzvahs that conclude the parasha of Golos in the Torah, that conclude the parasha of Gavadat and Mehera, that conclude the parasha of Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us there are two special mitzvahs to hold on to for dear life, the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah. What is it about these two mitzvahs that somehow give us the strength and the inspiration to continue in the absence of a physical structure of a Beis HaMikdash? It appears what these two mitzvahs are also mitzvahs of Beis HaMikdash. They are mitzvahs that revolve around the exact same word that we use to describe the Makom HaMikdash as the Beis HaMikdash, as a home of Kedusha. The Torah tells us that what we do is we take a bias, we take a little house, a structure that looks like a home. And what do we do in this bias? We take parshios of Divrei Torah and we put them inside the bias. We close up the bias. Nobody sees the parshios, but we know that they're there. That imagery of parshios of tefillin wrapped up and hidden from human view in a structure of a bias is nothing less than a miniature Beis HaMikdash. How powerful it is on Tisha B'Av afternoon for a Jew, after getting up from St. Kinos for the entire morning, in the state of Avelus, the very first mitzvah that we perform, in a sense, post the Avelus aspect of Tisha B'Av, is the mitzvah of Hanochas Tefillin. It's not coincidental. Right after you experience Vavadat Mehera, you have to go back to V'samtem Es Devarei Eluk, Sharetem Asam Osa Yetchem, because the mitzvah of Tefillin is a mini Beis HaMikdash that we carry with us no matter where we go. The mitzvah of Hanochas Tefillin is the guf, a little small token of the guf of the Beis HaMikdash. It is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Divrei Torah wrapped up inside a little home. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you another mini Beis HaMikdash to carry with you no matter where Golos takes you. Uchsavtam ha-mezuzas b'secha v'sharecha. Your home, the structure of each and every Jewish house, can also become a Beis HaMikdash by putting the Divrei Torah front and center. If your home revolves around the parshios that are found in the mezuzah, then what you have in effect done is rebuilt a mini Beis HaMikdash no matter where Golos finds you. What a perfect culmination to the parsha of Ahayim Shemoa, a parsha that would have left us in a state of Golos, in a situation of apparently no hope. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us that even in Golos and even in Churban, I'm going to give you the tools to keep the essence of my Beis HaMikdash alive in your hearts and in your minds. I'm going to grant you the mitzvah of tefillin, and I'm going to grant you the mitzvah of mezuzah. Those mitzvahs can never be taken away from us. The neshama, the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, can never be taken away from us as well. Today is technically Yud Ba'av, 2 months from now, Yud Tishrei. Exactly 2 months from now, the time of Ne'ilah. Just as at the end of Tisha B'Av, we come to the realization that Ein Lanu Shir HaKatorah Zos, when all else is lost, when the guf has been taken, when the Beis HaMikdash has been consumed, the soul of the Beis HaMikdash is still with us. It is found in Abate Bedrashos. It is found in Abate Knesios. It is found in our own homes. It is found in the bias of Eshel Yads. And it is found in the bias of Eshel Rosh. It is those words that comfort us. Perhaps it's the only words that can comfort us at this point. And it's those same words that give us the inspiration when we, Amiyatz Hashem, celebrate Yom HaKippurim. Even, hopefully we should be Zocha, Meher Yabon HaMikdash, and we'll have the full base of Mikdash by then. But what has given a Jew hope and a courage to look to the future is the knowledge that even if the Beis HaMikdash has been taken from us, both at the end of our Tisha B'Av and the end of Yom HaKippurim, we can console ourselves and comfort ourselves with the same words, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give all of us the prophecy after the Shemaya, give Klal Yisrael the prophecy after the Shemaya, to understand the meaning of these words and the schus of our reconnecting to the Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again reconnect the guf with the neshama, reconnect the Mokam HaMikdash, reconnect the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash, reconnect the Klei HaMikdash with the dream, with the heart and soul. Those words of Bulvavi Mishkan Evneh are as true today as they were Bizman HaKhorban. It would be Zoche that the merit of really, truly feeling those words of Bulvavi Mishkan Evneh, Kadosh Baruch Hu will once again rebuild for us the Beis HaMikdash.
Just mention also, in terms of tonight's Havdalah, so first of all, we want to thank Rabbi Sobolewski for his words. With regards to this evening, so as we mentioned last night, because we have, it's Motzei Shabbos, it requires us to say Havdalah, and therefore we're going to go home, and the Havdalah that's recited is just merely the Bracha, followed by the Bracha Mavdal. The bracha that can be said depends on family custom. So one can have either wine, grape juice, or chama medina. Chama medina can be coffee, tea, or preferably beer. In either case, one drinks it themselves, and that constitutes the havdalah. There's no barim and samim. And a person goes ahead and then can eat following the havdalah. Although one can possibly have wine, if one doesn't want a grape juice this evening for Havdalah, with regards to the restrictions that one normally has, so because, as was mentioned, today is the 10th of Av, so because of that, normally we go until the 10th, until Chatzos. Therefore, all basic restrictions of laundering, of shaving, of taking a haircut, are also suspended this evening, following Marv. The one restriction that does carry until, actually a few restrictions do carry until tomorrow morning, and that's due to the fact that because we had Avelos Bayom, because we had a day full of mourning, it's not appropriate that we should conduct ourselves in a certain way in the evening, and so therefore certain restrictions go until tomorrow morning, not until Chatzos, but until tomorrow morning with sunrise, and that is specifically the eating of meat, the drinking of wine, non-havdalah, the drinking of wine, and as well as, according to many poskim, music should also be restricted until tomorrow morning. So upon tomorrow morning, all the restrictions will have been relieved. And we hope, Mit Hashem, as we've mentioned throughout the day, that all the spirit of our restrictions and our prohibitions and our fulfillment of the various inuyim of Tisha B'Av should ultimately lead to the being able for us to be zocha to see it b'simchasa in its moments of joy. We'll be davening Ma'ariv in just a few minutes.